This shiur is followed by a rapid review. After the rapid review, there is the same daf from the previous cycle of Daf Yomi with a different ambience and different participants, which may interest you as a chazara or maybe actually the one you prefer hearing. Today's daf is daf Chof Dalet in Masechet Avodah Zarah. We're in the middle of the Machloket, which we got into because of the contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braita. The Mishnah, it says, you're not allowed to be ma'amid an animal in a stable of goyim, because we're chayish for revia. And in the Braita, that says you're allowed to buy an animal for a korban from Ovid Kechotik, which of course doesn't make any sense. If we're chayish l'revia, so then an animal is possible if it's nirva. So we explained that there was one of the explanations, we had three explanations actually, but the last explanation we were talking about, that stira was that it's a machlokes Rabbi Eliezer v'Chachamim, which we saw in the Masechet Parah, in the Mishnah Lagabe Parah, and in the Braita that continued the Mishnah Lagabe all Behemot. So that the Braita says, the same way that they argued about Parah, Rabbi Eliezer passed buying any animal for a korban. And the end of the Braita was that the Chachamim asked on Rabbi Elazar, what are you going to do about the fact that Ratid Lavo, it says, called Tzon Kedar Yikav Sulach? And we didn't get to the answer. So but we had clear-cut indications that historically it would be kosher to have an animal from a goy. But we didn't have an explanation of exactly how that would happen. We left it sort of hanging. So it turned out yesterday that it appeared to be that Sheila, in a Braita, had given a different reason for Rabbi Elazar. According to that, it was limited to a Chiddush HaKro in Parah Aduma. So this is Vayikra Elecha Parah Aduma. So that means that it has to be Lekicha from you. But if it would be from a Goy, it would be possible. And that would have limited it to the Parah Aduma, or to the Malachat HaMishkan, where it also says Vikhuli Truma. So that's definitely not the case, because we know Rabbi Eliezer B'Maisa holds that all korbanos are possible. And today we want to see whether there's a way in which we could put the two shitas together over here. And so we asked, we got up to Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, and we explained yesterday how Aliba de Shila. How was it mutter to buy the Parah Aduma from the famous Maisa of Dama ben Netinah? He said that the issue over there was that they used a broker. Since they used a broker, it was Vayikra Lecha. It doesn't have to be directly, but the last part of the kinyan for the actual Parah Aduma, that has to come to Yidei Yisrael. The fact that initially they had bought the animal from a goy, that wouldn't have passed it. It's only the Aliyah LeKedusha, so to speak, that has to be from a Yisrael. The problem is, says the Gemara today, one third of the way down, V'Rabbi Eliezer, lo chayish l'revia. So what are you telling me? You're telling me that the sephora that would have been a problem, Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer, is only the kinyan from the goy. That's what Sheila was saying. I mean, even with Gabe Parah Aduma, it's not true. Because you're saying Rabbi Eliezer, lo chayish l'revia, that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't have a problem. That we have to be cheshish that the Parah was possible because of the fact that it was used for sexual purposes. We know that he holds that it's possible. Yesterday, of course, we discussed what the marker of that would be. Is it because the Parah Aduma is kachem mizbeach, which we originally entertained? Is it because of the special posuk that calls it a chatat? In the end, the Gemara came out that it's a din in mum. But the same way mum is possible, it says beferish, shein bo mum. So too, Moshchatam ben Mumbam compares Hashchata of Rivian, Hashchata of Avodah Zarah to Mum. But in any event, it would definitely have been possible if it was Nirva. We know that Rabbi Eliezer took very much into consideration the problem of Rivian, specifically in the case of Doma ben Atina, which all of a sudden we remember there's a Braita that says Beferish. V'atanya Amrula le Rabbi Eliezer. How could you say that you're not allowed to buy a Parah Aduma from a goy? What about the story of Dama ben Atinah? Maaseh v'lakchua min ha'oved kochavim v'dam ha'shmo. Some say, was remet shmo. Amar lem Rabbi Eliezer mishom raya? You got to be kidding. You're going to be using that case as a raya. That's a famous case where they had to have mashgichim there the whole time. Yisrola yumishamrim otam mishashin olda. From the time that Parah Aduma was born They had mashgichim to make sure that the goyim wouldn't use it. No, but that doesn't mean that Shila is wrong, does it? Shila never said that he doesn't hold that there's a problem of Raviyah. Shila said there's a new halacha of lakhua. So it's not really a kasha on Shila. He also says there's another problem. That's true. Rabbi Eliezer tarti itlay. Rabbi Eliezer holds there's really two problems. He has the itla, the kicha, but he's chayish nami l'raviyah. All that Shila was coming to say was this chiddush. It doesn't mean you don't have the general problem that you have by all korbanos. When it comes to Pora Aduma, you need to also deal with the special gzeres hakosef. Omar, you say that Yisrael ayu mishamrim ota misha'ash nolda, but that's not good enough. Because let's say that the animal, the mother that was pregnant, was nirba'at while it was pregnant, that would have passed the vlad. Because nechesh dilma rave le'ima ki having the abra, don't we have to worry about the problem of the mother having been used for Raviyah while it was pregnant with this poor Aduma? And remember that Rava says, the Amar Rava, Vlad Anogachat Asur, that you're not allowed to use the Vlad of a female who was pregnant at the time that it did a Negicha. And the din over there is that a Nogachat or a Nirvat are both possible. But so too is the child of such an animal, because since Uber Yerech Imo, so it turns out that the child was part of a Parah Nogachat, or the child was part of a Parah Nirvat, because Hiu Vlada Nagachu, Vlada Nirvat, Asur Hiu Vlada Nirva'u. So what good would it do to have Ashgocha from the time of Leda? Okay, fine. Ain't no finami. You'll have to say, if you hold Uber Yerech Imo, that Ema Yisrael Oyim Sham Limot HaMishash Notzra, in a finami. From the time the animal conceived, the mother conceived, so they already were careful to make certain, we'll see why in the world they would have done such a thing, but they already made careful to have Hashkocha on the mother while it was pregnant. Wait a minute, but even that doesn't help. Maybe the mother was nirba'at before it got pregnant. V'nechesh dilma rav'u ali'ima me'ikara. So you'll say that's not a problem. According to Rebbe Eliezer, it is a problem. We're going on leave it to Rebbe Eliezer. We're trying to figure out how he, l'shitato, allowed them to buy from Dama. So what about if the mother had been used for sexual purposes before it was even impregnated with this paraduma? It's not. Kol ha'psulim l'gavim mizbeach v'ladoteh mutarim. So here, the pashas of the Mishnah, anything that's possible, that doesn't mean that the child is possible. But the problem is that Rebbe Eliezer himself, in the Braita, argues. V'tani ala Rebbe Eliezer oser. So that means Rebbe Eliezer l'shitato doesn't make any sense. Rebbe Eliezer is the one who holds that even the child of an animal that is possible, even though that child has nothing to do with the psul, not during the time of pregnancy, nor after it was born. So nonetheless, it's possible, which means that he'd have to be chayshesh, that the mother of this paraduga of Dama ben Adina, at one point or another, had been nirvat, and therefore it was possible, and when it conceived, forget about it, having hashgacha when it conceived wouldn't do any good. And this is good for Rabbi Eliezer Shita. Look, if you hold of Rava, who says, the Amar of Nachman, Machloket kishenirvu kishen mugdashim, that the only Machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan over here is Dafka, if the Psul came while it was Kadesh. And therefore, because it really isn't, Rabbi Eliezer himself is only saying a din, the Gemara says, in Tamura, that it's bizoyan karch. It's not that it's really possible. So if it was nirvat as a kodesh animal, then it's a bizoyan. It's registered already in terms of the kedusha. Ava kishem chulin, even Rabbi Eliezer would be made that it's mutter. So then divrei hakol mutarim. So then everything makes sense, because over here Dama ben Atina's animal obviously wasn't kodesh, the mother, before they bought the parah aduma. But the way Ravuna Bar Chinana quotes Rav Nachman is exactly the opposite. The Dafka the Machloket is only when they were near Vukishen Chulin, But if they're mugdashim and everybody's made it that it's bizya milta and it's a bizoyan to use it, it should be possible. So then I'll leave it to Rabbi Eliezer, since over here it was maybe nirvat 5 years ago before it got pregnant with this parah aduma. So then divrei kol asurim ma'ikel meima. What would you say according to this approach in Reb Nachman? I guess you'll have to say that Reb Eliezer's answer was that Ema Yisrael ayum mishamrim otah le'ima bishah shenatzra, from the time the mother was conceived, so there was hashgacha on the mother that it wasn't used for sexual purposes at any time. No, says Gemara, that's not going to help, because if you hold blood is possible, so maybe the grandmother was nirvat. I mean, already once you hold it to din and psul, so then it passels every animal down the line. That's what you're saying. So if that's the case, nechesh dilma ravuela ima di ima, what has a kosher grandmother? It's already getting as difficult as the rabbanut to get a marriage, right? Not a Jewish grandmother. Nukulei haylar chashinim ad kidei kach. As we do, but hashgacha we can. Okay, so now we have what we've come out with, is that everybody could be chayish for revia. There might be an additional chashash, alibet shila, not a chashash, an actual ma'akev, that you cannot buy from a goy directly. You would need to have a sirisur in between. It was from Yisrael. And in cases where there would be a chashash of revia, so then there would only be kosher if, alibet Reb Eliezer, if you had hashkacha all the way back on the mother from the time that the mother was conceived. If you don't hold of that extreme in Reb Nachman, Haliba to Reb Eliezer, so then you could say we had hashkacha only on the child.
Paraduma is a rare thing. Can you know that it's going to come from this cow or that cow?
That's exactly the next question that we had. Omar Mar, Yisrael, are you mishamrim otam mishashin matzra min hayadina? What made them think that this would be a paraduma, that they should have mashgichim there? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. So how could this be? Omer of Ghana, no, because you see, they had this all prepared. Genetic manipulation. They were going to use a red colored cup to put in front of it at the time that it was impregnated. So of course, Adom Mavir Nefanea, Bishasha Alea Zachar. And they knew it would be a paraduma. Ah, come off it, man. I mean, so why is it so expensive? You should be able to make these things a dime a dozen. So am I the male Yikarim? So how come it's so expensive? Obviously, that's not a very effective mechanism. Well, I mean, maybe it's an effective mechanism to make it sort of reddish, but, you know, shtei sarot poslotpa. So it doesn't work 100%. So then we're back to what we have. So then Maishna did who? So why did they think that it's kedai to have mashgichim on this particular part? Amar Rav Kahana, the truth is that the line of Parah of Dama Benatina were a long time genetically engineered. They always had Parah Adumet. They wanted to fix it up. It should be very red, so they used the kos. But Lamaisa, they were expecting a Parah Aduma just because of the fact that these animals, every generation, give birth to a Parah Aduma. So because of that, they had Mashgichim there to make sure it wouldn't be Nifsa. Yosef Rebami of Reb Yitzchak Nafcha, Akila to Reb Yitzchak Nafcha. Rebami and Reb Yitzchak Nafcha were sitting together in the little entrance room to his house. Potach Chad Minayo, one of them, asks the other one and says, the Braita. So first he says the first part of the Braita, V'chein haya Reb Eliezer posel b'chol ha-korbanot kulam. The other one continued the Braita. Potach Chidach Minayo v'amar ma'ayo tivulei chavroi v'Reb Eliezer. And what did the friends of Reb Eliezer say to him? Kol tzon kedar yikov tzulach. They brought the posek. It's all in the how could you take from Kotzon Kedar, who are Arabs, which means all the animals are possible? So you see clearly that there is no such psul. Omar lahem Reb Eliezer, it must mean that kulam gerim grurim em latid lavo. All of these people were trying now to be from for a long time. We'll see what If they brought stuff that they had at the time, it'd be a problem. We're going to see from Yitro, we're going to ask the same question. But over here, they wouldn't accept Gerim. So they took upon themselves mitzvahs and were careful to act as Gerim for a long time. It didn't help because we're not Mekabel Gerim Latilavo. But in any event, it means that the animals that they had at that point were all kosher animals. Omer of Yosef Mikro, ki azeh foch elamim safabrura. That at that point, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will change the language and the thinking of the goyim. Love the Shem Echad. Omer le'abaye. Maybe that just means that they'll think clearly. Safabrura is the pshat that people no longer fool themselves. No longer fool themselves means they won't believe in Avodah Zarah. Because language is language that fools us, right? That's the Eitz HaDaas. If you have a Sofa Brura, so then you think straight. So, how do you know that means that they'll keep mitzvahs? It just means that they're not going to be fooled into nonsense of these projections. What do you mean? The pasuk continues, the crow kulam b'shem Hashem lo'ov do shchem achad. So if it's lo'ov do shchem achad, obviously means together with Yisrael. Shchem achad means there's no difference between the way Yisrael is oived and the way the Umas are oived. So obviously they're keeping all of the mitzvahs. Anyway, this approach is Rav Papa's approach. That's how he said over the Maisa, Hakila de Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. Rav Zvid says over the Maisa, slightly differently, but it's exactly the same, give and take, except Rav Zvid changes the names. So according to Rav Zvid, it says, Tarvayu Amri, not one of them said the first part of the Braita. The other one said the other part of the Braita. Both of them started to talk together. So both of them said the words, the first words of the Braita, V'chein ha'yer Rebbe Eliezer Poser v'kol ha'korbanot. And both of them said the Emshech of the Braita, according to Rav Zvid, Tarvayu Amri Umayu Tiva Lechavrui L'Rebbe Eliezer Kol Tzom Kedari Kavtzulach. And they agreed that Rebbe Eliezer said, Kulam Gerim Grurim Eim Latid Lavo. Umay Krok Yazef O'chalamim Safa Brurak L'Kro Kulam B'Shem Hashem. Now, in his version, Rav Zvid's version, it was not Abaye, it was Rabbi Yosef who attacked the assumption that it would be a dafka, keeping all of the mitzvahs, including arayos. So matkifla Rabbi Yosef, and it wasn't a question, it was a hatkafa, according to this version. Matkifla Rabbi Yosef, v'dilma mi'avodat kochavim hu da'adribahu. And in this version, it was Abaye who answered Rabbi Yosef, not Rabbi Yosef, who answered Abaye. But anyway, it was exactly the same story. There's no nafkamina in the give and take. It's only a question of who said what.
They really don't have to become Jews.
Exactly. We just need to know that they're careful. No, they're keeping Tayag mitzvahs. Later, we don't have to. But you see for the pasuk that they clearly were Shechem Echad, which means, as Rashi says, Shechem Echad, there can't be a difference between Yisrael and the Goyim, because it's all with the same shoulders. They're pushing together. It must be that they were Mekayim, all of the mitzvahs. Later, we'll see, Lagabe Arav Nahivusi, etc., that it's enough to say that someone was Mekabel Shem and Mitzvah Pnei Nayar. But Lamaisa, Lasid Lavai, there's more than that. Meisvei. How could Moshe Rabbeinu have told Paro, Gam ata titen biyadenu zvachim olot? As he tells me, you're also going to give us karbanos. We won't accept your karbanos. As he say, you're going to give us karbanos. Says the Gemara, no, because I was kaita matan teira. Before matan teira, we didn't have all these dinim. So then shiny. Then the standards for karban were less. So it doesn't matter. Tashma, how about the fact that when Yitro came, it says, Vayikach Yitro chotein Moshe, Olah zvachim alokim. How could Yitro have brought Korbonos, if Lamaisa, he had a din of an akel? No, Yitro brought Korbonos before Matan Torah. No, I mean, that's the story. Afterwards it says that came the Shloshes Yimei Hagbalah. So Yitro, nami kodem Matan Torah, at that point, it was kosher. What do you mean that? But that's about Chloket, no? I mean, any Chalaman Yom Yitro kodem Matan Torah. By the way, it's not that there was really a chashash on Yitro that he would be Reveya Behemethas Rishalom. He was always a very special person. But it means that he had to do, all of his business had to do with the Bidyanim. Where would he get Korbanos? He could rely that they were kosher.
Let me see something. Kamsa Bar Kamsa story that Goyim could send Korbanos for basically
Kushim? We said, yeah, but it could be that they were purchased from Yisrael, which is what we're going to answer in Yisrael now. So it's all very nice if you hold that we look at the story the way it's written, that it's in chronological order. But according to the Man Diomar, that Yitro actually showed up to Yachar Matan Torah. Tosfos says, if you hold it's Yachar Matan Torah, and the reason that it's brought here, he gives a very interesting reason. The reason it's brought here is in the same way that the Torah wants to show the ones who were natively Yisrael, who were Mazikli Yisrael originally, which is Reishis Goyim Amolek, and wanted to show the ones that was natively Yisrael, Tchila. That was Yisrael. Yisrael and Alei Naim, the whole, which of course becomes, because it doesn't point this out, but it becomes a historical juxtaposition always, right? Because when Shaul goes to destroy Amolek, he has to first go to the Keni, or the Yisrael, to tell him to split. So the story goes on all the time. Other examples as well, but in any event, if you hold Yitro was Lacha Matan Torah, Michael Amema, where did he get these carbonas from? Oh, answer to the Gemara, as our president suggests, Yitro Mistro Zama. He bought cash with them, he didn't bring the animals, and he purchased it from the Bnei Yisrael. Toshma, how about the Maisa with the Amaleki? Where Shaul says, what Shmuel says, what do I hear all these mads in the background for? So, mea kolatzon. Vayomer Shaul mi amaleki heviyum. They brought it in order to bring his korbanos. Asher chamala hama meitav atzon vabakar mishnim. And so on, l'man zvach l'ashem alokecha. No? What are you going to do with that? Apparently they took directly from Amalek. No. When it says, meitav atzon, it means they're going to sell it. The Maymeta, bring the value of these tzon in order to bring on the Mizbeach, but they wouldn't have brought the tzon themselves.
They captured 600,000 sheep.
It doesn't say that it's brought in carbonus, but here it says it's brought for carbonus. No. So my is what, you think Jews are so ready to bring carbonus? So Maishna asked the Gemara, if that's the case, they could have brought anything. Why do you have to bring Meta? I mean, Bishlam, if you're bringing Meitav on the Mizbeach, well, you want to bring the nicest. But if you're just going to sell it anyway, what's the difference? Ask the Gemara, so then, Maishna Meitav, why would they bring the best? No, they were just bringing the highest quality, meaning those things that are immediately transferable into cash. That's all it means. So, that there will be people jumping to buy them so they can bring Kabbalahs with them, not hold them around and be Nirsha. Okay, what about the case of Aravna, Tashma? Here it says when David went to buy the Makam HaMizbeah, so Aravna said to David, Yikach v'yal Adonai HaMelech HaTov be'inav re'ei HaBakar la'ola v'amorigim uchlei HaBakar la'itzi. How could he possibly utilize the korbanos that Aravna is giving him? Omer Rav Nachman, Aravna Gerto Shavayim. He was a ger toshav. What else was he doing there? So he was a ger toshav, means he was mekabel shev mitzvah neyach, which includes, of course, arayot. So he couldn't have been sleeping with his animals. Therefore, must be that it was kosher. By the way, what's the morigim? What are morigim exactly? My morigim. Omar Ula morigim is a mita shel turbil. That's a turbo-powered, as we'll see, threshing machine. What exactly is a turbil? My mitashal turbil. Oh, everybody knows what that is. That's an Iza de Kurkasa. The Daishan. That is called a Circassian goat. So what did they do? They would take a piece of wood, they would cut it in ways that had deep ridges in it, pegs and ridges. So that then they would place it over the tefua, and animals walk over it. And as the weight shifted, so then it was concentrated in the pegs, which would then break open the chaff. And then they could just winnow it. So it was a wide bed, so to speak. It was a wooden bed that had on the other end, it had ridges in it. And where do we see that indeed a morag is a tool that's used for threshing? Amr Yezid, my craw. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu compares now the Novi. They samtich lemorag charutz chadash baal pipiot. I have made you into a morag that is all ready to do its tough work. You will use it to be tadush harim v'tadog va'ot kamutz tasim. So you see that what is a morag? Something that can break down by threshing. You'll be able to thresh whole mountains like mutz. So obviously the morag is something that is dash, mutz, in the normal sense. Mitzvah. How about the story with the Plishtim? Plishtim send back the Oren Abris, and this whole Maisa happens that the Parot take their own way back to Beit Shemesh, and the people of Beit Shemesh see the Parot coming, they take the Parot, they bring them as a korban. How do they bring as a korban? It came from the Plishtim. V'ta Parot elu olala Hashem. How is that? Well, that obviously was a Horat Shah. It was a response to the Nes. Oh, unbelievable Maisa, as we'll see some of the details, but it was a Hora'at Sha'ah to use these parot as a oila. Wasn't that it was kosher? By the way, I mean, what do you think? It's got to be it was a Hora'at Sha'ah. How can you use a female animal for an oila? I mean, is it parot? And did you ever hear of such a thing? Oila nekeva, mi'ika. Obviously, it was a special situation in which a miracle was done. Obviously, that miracle, they understood, indicated that milamala. It means that these are specially set aside parot that are doing the Ratzon Hashem, being megala the Ratzon Hashem in the world, the Kved Shamayim, which was meant to be established as a korban. That must be the pshat. Says, wait a minute. I mean, it could be that's the pshat, but don't bring me a raya from the fact that they were female. Because where were they bringing these korbanos? In Beit Shemesh. Why were they bringing korbanos in Beit Shemesh? Because Shiloh was destroyed. And, of course, that's exactly why the Aron wasn't there. That was when the Aron was taken, when Shiloh was destroyed. And the Bomas Tzibor now was in Nov. And the Plishtim returned this to Beit Shemesh. So then where are they bringing it? On a Boma, not even on a Bomas Tzibor. And on a Boma, who's to say that there's not a heter to bring in the Keva, an Eila in the Keva, to Ravada Barava? The Om Ravada Barava minayin lo'olah nekeva shikshera bebamat yachid. Adarabba, there's no problem in bringing a nekeva for an Eilan Abamas Yachid. I'll bring you a raya. Shenema, Vayikach Shmuel. Here it says Shmuel took a telei chalav echad, Vayalu Ola Kalil Hashem, and then he davened Tashem. So telei chalav is mashma, a nursing telei. Nah, come on, it says Vayaleu. Vayaleu is a zachar. No? But Taleh doesn't necessarily mean, maybe it means that Taleh was nursing. I was nursing another. So the Mashmah was a Zachar. Remember, we used it up until the point that the animal matures. We use the word Taleh. Afterwards, we're mocked to say Zachar Nekeva. Is it a, I'll be the full, is it a ewe, is it a goat? But otherwise, we use the word Taleh. So, but nonetheless, I mean, if it uses Lashon Zachar, it's Mashmah was a Zachar. Amar Nachum Bar Yitzchak, no. Notice that the vav is missing. The ktiv is vayaleha. But since lamaisa atle is basically, it's unisex, so we're not marked but on the sex of atle. So it says vayalehu, but to be maram is on the actual identity, the pasuk went out of its way to leave out the vav. So it's a nice deal. So the pasuk is telling you that on a bomas yachid, where Shmuel was out there now with the whole maisa, the mitzvah, well, that was a bomas yachid. Rabbi Yochanan and Omar, getting back to the story of Rabbi Yochanan, it says, remember that the original chat that we had in Rav is that you can buy from a goyim because of the fact that if it's his own animal, then he doesn't want to ruin the animal because the belief was that the animal was sterile if it had sex with humans. Says Rabbi Yochanan, but that's not any animal. It's definitely a young animal. Gvul Yeshla. If it's Pchutami Bat Shalosh Shanim, so then it goes sterile. So if the female is less than 3 years old, so then he'll be careful. But if it's already 3 years old, then it won't be Nekeret, in which case he won't be careful over the age of three. Now, when Rabbi Yochanan said that, it was not in the context of our conversation here. They asked Rabbi Yochanan all of the questions that we just asked against Rabbi Eliezer. What are you going to do with the fact of Kol Tzom Kedar? What are you going to do about Amalek? What are you going to do about Yitro? What are you going to do about the Poros? And so on and so forth. And in every case, he answered, Chutami bat shalosh shanim. Darei no chinami. Over there, there's no problem. So he went back to the original approach that we had to answer the Mishnah Braita contradiction. And he said, there's never a contradiction. Because Aliba de Rav, if the animal is owned by the Goyim, so over here all of these animals were owned by Goyim, they're owned by Goyim, then they would be careful not to use an animal of their own flock for sexual purposes, because then they won't be able to use it for breeding purposes. So Mamela, he said, all these cases were put to be about Shalosh Shanim. We asked him, Ve'eta parot elu ola la Hashem. We'll see, why did we ask this particular one again? We'll see. What about the case of the Plishtim? So he tried tining that the parot were less than 3 years old. Here's where he got into trouble, because we could prove that they were more than 3 years old. And this is why we repeat this case. So he said, Chutav ibat shalosh shanim. And here, Rav Huna ben Reza Rav Nosson attacked him. How can you say they were less than 3 years old? Im kein hainu. Does that allow for the possibility of where the Pasuk says, Ve'et b'nehem kalu babayit, that they took the children of their, part of the nes was, they took the children of the, of those parot, they had them locked in the house, mooing. Normally the mothers would have turned around, tried to get the kids. They wanted to make sure it wasn't just a coincidence. They did everything they could do, that the parot would not walk to Beit Shemesh. And nonetheless, the parot took straight off to Beit Shemesh with the Yoram. So they saw the nes, but meanwhile you see in the Pasuk that they had children. The problem is, if they were less than 3 years old, they couldn't have had children. Pachas bibat shalosh shanim mika yolda. Do parot get pregnant and have a child before they're 3 years old? Vatnan, doesn't it say in the Mishnah over there is talking about where you have an animal that you got from a goy, you don't know whether it had already delivered. Why is that negeya? Bechor. You don't know whether this child that was born now is the firstborn son. Maybe it's not. So the Mishnah over there says that if the para mibat shalosh shanim, if it's now only up to, in other words, 3 years old, then it's vare lekoyim. If it's more than that, mikan ve'ech, now it's a sofek, because maybe it had a child before. So you see that, in fact, there is no way for it to be 3 years. Now, Tosis points out that this is absolutely ridiculous, but any farmer knows that cows have children way before they're 3 years old. It's like a lot of things in the Gemara where we know that certainly nature no longer follows the things that Chazal saw. And it's interesting because the Greeks and Romans report exactly the same thing that the Gemara reports in all of their medical, all of their assumptions. So that, I mean, we never heard of such a thing as a gestation period of 7 months for a human. And it was commonly reported in the literature, the medical literature at the time. We never heard of such a thing. Or this type of thing, that an animal only sexually matures at 3. You ever heard of such a thing? But that was the norm. There's many other things that Tosis points out all over Shas. Don't try this in your own home. It doesn't work. So that, nishtana hatva'im. Nature of things changes, and there's continued evolution as time goes on, hormonal changes and so on. There's gradual changes. In any event, but getting on, so says the Gemara. So then you'll have to answer Machvarta Kedushanina Meikar. You'll have to say what we said before, that in Afinami, that this case was Aubrasha with all Svara that we said. But I mean, Rabbi Yochanan could certainly get away in the other cases and get away with saying this book about Shalosh. Okay, once we bring up the story of the Parot, just a little bit of insight into what was going on over there. It says, Vayisharna Parot, you said, the Pasuk before you told me that they took the children, they locked it up, and they had these Parot ready. And it says the Parot, Vayisharna, is a very funny word. I mean, it obviously means something like they went straight to Beit Shemesh, but I mean, we don't use that word as a verb, Vayisharna. What kind of verb is that? Say, Olchu Yashar, Vayisharna is very strange. So what does that mean? My Vayisharna. Om Rav Yochanan ben Yishuv Rav Meir, it means they sang. Az Yashir Vayisharna. They were singing all the way to Beit Shemesh. Shomru Shira, Because at this moment of incredible gilui of Kvei Shamayim that this was happening, but what it, the whole story was amazing. I mean, the breaking of Dagon, the destruction of their Avodah Zorah, the bizoyan of the Plishtim, they're coming back with their tails between the legs, came out literally. I mean, this was pretty, pretty amazing meisim that had happened. So they were saying Shira, like by every gilui Kvei Shamayim. For Zutra Bartuvia Amara, it means she yishru pneyem keneged aron vayomer shvamr shira. It's a double meaning by yisharna, that the shira was beloshen yashrus, that they looked at the orain and they were, while they were walking, they were looking back at the orain behind them and they were singing about the orain. What did they sing? My shira amu. Amr b'yokan shumer ben. They said the shira, the same thing. Kiga oga'a. It was kiga oga'a. That he destroyed all of the Avodah Zorah of the Mitzrim here too. Dagon was destroyed. They said the same thing. Oz Yashem Moshe, Vene Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan himself, he said, you know, he quoted this thing, but Mishum Rabbi Meir, he himself held that what they sung was Vamartam Bayom Ahu, Hodu Lashem, Kiru Bishmo. He felt that Hodiu Ba'amim Niflo Tav is much more for this, right? Because the whole, I mean, here the Plishtim thought they were on top of the world. It was Modia them in a very personal way, that Nisgav Shemo. So that must be what they were singing. Mitzah Masvara. Rav Shimon and Markish Shabra, you know what? There's a Mizmor that is Yatma. Yatma means, we don't know who said it, says Rashi. It just says Mizmor Shiru. What's a Mizmor? Who say usually Mizmor with David? I mean, but what Mizmor? Tosis points out, there's a lot of things that it just says Mizmor. Mizmor Shili Yom HaShabbat. You know, I mean, why can't it just say Mizmor? Okay, Rashi obviously holds that's not such a raya, because over here, it's the Mizmor doesn't run directly into the next word. In other words, Mizmor Shili Yom HaShabbat is telling you what this is. Mizmor. Hodu Lashem. What's the connection between the Mizmor? So you expect to hear Mizmor of whom? Hodu Lashem. But the word Mizmor, Hodu, don't go together.
There's some type of dedication.
There's a missing dedication. Therefore, Rashi Tainis, that's what's meant by Mizmor Yatma. So if we find a Mizmor that's missing a dedication, who are we going to dedicate it? Basco the cow. So we say Mizmor must be that was said by the cows. It's a beautiful drasha. And Lamaisa, I mean, it's a beautiful Shira Lashem Shir Chadash Kiflaot Asa Hoshia Lo Yomino Zera Kacho. There is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's own Yad did everything. Tosfos Tainis, because he doesn't like that approach in Mizmor Yatma, he says all the other Mizmoras, it says what they were set on. So Mizmor Shalim HaShabbos, Mizmor L'Todah, I know what it's about. But he doesn't say, it's dedicating it to an event without telling you the event. That's the point. Mizmor, Hodul Hashem. About what? Must be this was the Maisa that was missing. We put the two together. And here it's providing you the context. Okay, fascinating. So that must be what they said. Rebbe Lazar Amar, Hashem Malach, Yirgizuanim. Oh boy, did they really get it. Right in their rear ends, right? He got them good and angry. So they were distressed. It was terrible. It was a disaster. I mean, it was that their own priests warned them about Mitzrayim. You want to be in the position that Paro and Mitzrayim were? You know what he did to them? You better take care of this fast before he blows you up completely. I mean, that's the reference back to the Shira Sayam and so on. So this is Yirgizuami, Rav Shlomo Nachmani Amar. This is the Geyut, Hashem Malach, Geyut Lavesh. That Geyut is the Gilui of Kvei Shamayim is Hashem Echad, in which the Avodah Zorah collapses in front of him, breaks into pieces, bows down, like Dagon did. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka says, look, we have a song, the Kabbalah. That song is said, that it could be it was said in other times. We'll see. That maybe it was said all through the years of the Midbar. But we don't know how it was that Yisrael responded to the presence of the Oran B'nei. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu would sing, Vayivet Zaya Aran, Vayomer Moshe. You're saying there was no response in the public? They would watch the Oran, they didn't respond. course they responded. That song was sung by the poros. And what was that? It was a poem. Roni, Roni, Ashita. Sing, sing, the Shita, that which was made of the Atzei Shitim, was the Oren Abris. Hitznofefi, Berova, Darech, the Oren used to float in the air. Float in your beautiful glory. Hamuchusheket, Rikbeza, the Oren was covered with Zahav, all around the Shita. So, you're basically tied across all over, laced with gold. Hamehulala bedvir armon, the one who is glorified, that's the Sefer Torah of Moshe, is inside of you. And the Oren is mehulal with that dvir armon. We're going to see that dvir is a lashon of Sefer in a moment. So that even the dvir that we talk about when we refer to the Heichal is a reference to the Kedushas, the Sefer of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Oren Abris, which is inside of it. Mufuara ba'adi adayim, those adayim that were given on Har Sinai, the last place where they're still available, is they're linked to the Shivrei Luchais and to the Sefer. That must be what they were looking at the Oren, the Yasharna. They looked at the Oren, they must have said a Shira to the goddess of the Oren. Because all of this came out, not directly as a Nes, as everybody else is saying, that was irrelevant to the Oren. It all revolved around the Kedusha's Oren. Makes sense, therefore, that it wasn't Stam a Shira B'Alma, but it was a Shira to the Kedusha's Oren. And since this whole Mesa came about through what was viewed as a Zilzel of using the Oren Abris that wasn't supposed to be Yitzel Melchoma with them, and taking it out, and that was the source of the Churban of Shlomo, of Shiloh, so that the Tikkun needed to be in terms of the Gilui Kved HaOren, and that's why Beit Shemesh suffered so terribly when they weren't properly treating the Oren, and that's why David focused so much on the Oren as the Zachana for the Beis HaMikdash. This uplifted the issue of the Oren and the lost Adonim in the eyes of Yisrael. Therefore, this must be what they said. Ravashi Matla Lodur Yitzchak. Aha. This song that Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka reports, he learned at a Braita that this was on the following, by Ibn Sar Aaron, Vayom Moshe Kuma Hashem. So it only tells us what Moshe Rabbeinu said. It doesn't tell us what Bnei Yisrael said. There must have been a response to Bnei Yisrael. Yisrael, my Umru. And it was on that he said over, Om Rabbi Yitzchak, Roni, Roni Hashita. Omar Rav, since we see over here that we refer to the Lashon of Dvir Armon, I want to bring up the issue Dvir's relationship to the Sefer inside of the Oren. So if you take a look, it's very interesting that the Persians refer to the Sefer in the Oren. They call it a Dvir. It's strange. So, Kaman Kor Parsoyla Safra Dvir, they base it on the Pasuk. It says, V'shem Dvir Lifnim Kiryat Sefer. So the Yoshve Dvir, it says Beferish in Shoftim, that this used to be the town of Kiryat Sefer. What does Dvir have to do with Sefer? Must be that Dvir is a Lashon of the Kedusha of a Sefer. It's the Chashivas of a Sefer. So therefore, they call the Sefer Torah the Dvir, just like over here, the Oren is praised in terms of the Dvir that is Mahalalit. Once we're on that, so Omer of Ashi, Keman Koru Parsoi Lenida Dashtana. It's very interesting also, local minna, that they call Lenida Dashtana. Where did they get that word from? It's not a typical word, not in Aramaic, not in Hebrew. They got it from Derech Nashim Li. So they put together the words that Rachel said to her father when he was looking for the Trafim. Derech Nashim Li. Derech Nashim Dashtana. I am a Derech Nashim. Once already, we're talking about the Machlokis over here, Reb Shlomo Nachmani and Reb Elazar, in the Vayasharna, so we have a Machlokis between them also, and it's interesting because it mentions the Sefer HaYosha here, even though that's not the Makor of the link. Part of the link, Rashi says, is the specifically that we have another Machlokis, Reb Elazar, Reb Shlomo Bar Nachmani. But it's interesting that here too, it has to do with Yashus. So what's there? The Machlokis, it says, Vayidom Hashemesh, the Areach Amad, Ad yikon goy oivav alohi k'tuva al sefer hayashar. So what is the sefer hayashar, first of all? On Rabbiya Barav, on Rabbi Yochanan, that's a reference to sefer Bereshis, the sefer of Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov, shenikru yisharim. They were called yisharim because Bilam called them yisharim. It must be, therefore, that what Yoshua is saying, that there's a mukr in the Torah in Sefer Bereshis, which we'll see what that mukr is, that it makes sense to ask for this, that the Shemesh will be Yomid, and that everybody will know about it. And where indeed, Echor and Miza, where do we see that there was a remez in Bereshis that Yoshua was going to make a nace like this? Because Yaakov, I mean, it says, Vizar O Yem Lo Agoyim, that the children of Ephraim are the reason I'm saying this, says Yaakov Avinu to Yosef, is because Zaroyim Malagoyim, his children will also be Ephraim's children, will be Malagoyim. Who were Ephraim's children? Yoshua. When will they be Malagoyim? Bishasha Amdalo Chamala Yoshua. So just like we were talking a moment ago of how it is that the entire world, Yergizu Amim, were filled with respect for the Aron Abriz, there was a bracha that such a nace would come through Ephraim that everybody would see the Gilui Kvod Shamayim. When was that? At the time of Milchama, that Yehoshua was maimed the Yareach and the Shemesh. And what exactly happened there? So it says, Vayamod HaShemesh B'chatzi HaShamayim. So that seems to be one Amida at noon. And then it says, V'lo Atz Lavo K'yom Tamim. It didn't hurry to set. It didn't hurry to set. His mashmer was right by setting. There must have been two separate amidas. So they sensed that the middle of the day went on for a long time, and that what should have been twilight, just as the sun was setting, also went on for a very long time. And there it says, Kiyom Tamim. And that's the Yom Tamim. Could be referring to the whole story. It could be referring to the last part of it. So that's a machlokes v'kama. How long, indeed, was that day? Well, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that day was not 12 hours long, meaning the daylight time. It was 24 hours long. Esivar b'shoy. How did that work? Well, first the sun went for the normal time, 6 hours up till noon. Then it was b'chatzi ha-shamayim. When it was b'chatzi ha-shamayim, it says v'yamod. It says v'yamod. It was come an additional 6 hours without moving. Then it moved 6 hours to be ready to set, Ozel sheet, and then come sheet. And then again it says, Lola Tzlovo. Comes on the pasuk to say, Kiyom Shalai, meaning the entire story of that day was Kiyom Tamim. It's a kula milta Kiyom Tamim. It's a doubled the length of the day for the war. Rabbi Elazar, man? No, it was 36 hours. It was Ozel sheet, went up for 6 hours. Then it was Kam Tresar. It stood for 12 hours. We'll see where he gets this from. And then it was Ozel Sheet, and again it was Kam Tresar. Because when the Pasuk says Ki Yom Shalem, it wasn't referring to the length of the day. It was referring to the length of the Amida. So the Amida was Ki Yom Tamim. So a Yom Tamim all day is 24 hours? That means that it must have been 24 hours in total Amida, split between Be'em Tashabayim Velo Atzlavo. Gives you 12 and 12, plus 6 and 6. And therefore, the total of the day is 36 hours. Reb Shmuel bar Nachmini Omer, it was 48 hours. Arbaim v'shmona. Ozel sheet v'kam tresar. Ozel sheet v'kam esrim v'arba. Because the way to read it is, v'lo atz lavo kiyom tamim. The end of the day was kiyom tamim. That was 24 hours. Mechlal demi yikara, the original amida be'emtza, was lav kiyom tamim, however it was less. So it was 12 hours. So you add the 12 hours to the 24 hours is 36. Plus you have the normal day, the sheish and the sheish. Gives you 48.
Why putting it with the first count of 12 hours?
Because it only says, what do you mean, why 12 and not 24? Because it's not coming to be Sotem, it's coming to be Mefarish. So in other words, this is the full day, and that's the only the daylight of the day. One is Kiyom, and one is Kiyom Tamim. One is 12, one is 24. Ikariyamina is another lashon that all of those shitas were not talking about the total hours of the day. They were talking about the total hours of the tosefta, of how much was added to the day. In which case you have to add now the other 12 hours, because the 48 becomes 60 and so on. So according to that, the way to read it would be, the Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi was saying that it was 24 hours of extra time. So it's Ozor Sheet Vekam Tresa, Ozor Sheet Vekam Tresa, because according to this approach, Amidato was Kiyom Tamim, so there were 24 hours of Amida, 12 and 12. Rebbe Eliezer says there was 36 hours of Amida. Ozor Sheet Vekam Tresa, Ozor Sheet Vekam Esrim V'Arba, because V'lo Atzlavo Kiyom Tamim. So the Lo Atzlavo was 24 hours, the Amida was 12 hours, and you had the other 12 hours. But Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, he says it was 48 hours just the Tosefta. So Ozor Sheet Vekam Esrim V'Arba, Ozor Sheet Vekam Esrim V'Arba, because over here, it's Bakish Amidato L'Viato, just like V'lo Atzlavo V'Viato was Kiyom Tamim, so too, the Vayamod and Be'emza HaShavayim, the Amidato was also Kiyom Tamim, to which we need to add the 6 hours until it got there, 6 hours until it came down. Which means that it must have been a total of 60 hours. Rabbi Eliezer, lo chayesh le revia, v'atani amru lo lo Rabbi Eliezer, ma'aseh lo kachua min ovik lo chavim v'dame, shvam re ramat shmo. Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer, misham raya, Yisrael, yu misham rim, uta misha shenoda. No, that's not a problem. Rabbi Eliezer, tar to eat like. He holds of kicha, like shila, v'chayesh nami lo revia. Okay, change that to read Yisrael or Yimashamrimo Tamishashino Tzra, not Mishashino Da. So when Echish Dimo Ravula Imami Ikor, the Tan collapse in the Gavim's Behlotem Utariva Tani Allah, Rabbi Eliezer Oser. Saying, Ichel Rava, the Yom Rav on Rav Nachman, Machlok et Kishenir vo Kishen Mugdashim, Av vo Kishen Chulin, Divriako Mutarim. But what about the Ravuna Bar Chinen on Rav Nachman? Machlok et Kishenir vo Kishen Chulin, Av vo Kishen Mugdashim, Divriako Lassuri, Mayuk el Amema. Ema Yisrael, Ayum Mishamrim Ota Le'ima, Misha'a Shen Notzra. Nechish Dimur Avua Le'ima Di'ima. Nu, Kulo Yailo Kishin. Why would they have done such a thing? Minoya Dina. Omrefkana kos adom avirinu fanea bisha'a shala alea zacha. So then, if it's so easy to make a pora aduma, amai damea yikarim, holavishte sarot poslotpa. So then we're back again to the problem. So, maishna didu. Omrefkana, over here it's talking about a family that's buchzeket as pora adumas. Yes, Rabbi Yisrael Nafcha Kila Rugitzak Nafcha. Pata Chad Minayu Viamar. V'chein Ayah Rabbi Eliezer Posel B'chol HaKorbanot Kulam. Pata Chidach Minayu Viamar. Mayu Tivu Lechavrui L'Rabbi Eliezer. Kol Tzon Kedari Kav Tzulach. Amalam Rabbi Eliezer. No, that's because Kulam Gerim Uriman Le'atid Lavo. They're going to keep all the mitzvahs. Omer Rabbi Eliezer My Krok Yosef Ochel Amim. Safabrura, Omale Abai, maybe that just means me avodat kochavim udadavu. Omle Rav Yosef, it says love doshkem echad ktim. Rav Papa matnei hachi, Rav Zvid matnei hachi. Betarvayu amri, vechein oya Rav Eliezer posel b'cholor kabonos. Betarvayu amri, umayoti v'lechavril Rav Eliezer, kol tzon kidar. Om Rav Eliezer kulam geim gruim em latid lavo. Umay krok yezer afoch alami safar burar ko kulam b'shem Hashem. And according to Rav Zeir, Rav Zvid, it was maskeval Rav Yosef, dilma mi'avaris kachavudad, da'adrugu. And according to Rav Zvid, it was Abaye who answered Rav Yosef, lav doshkem echad. Anyway, meit. Vayomer Moshe, teparo, gam atat titet biyadenu, zvachim v'olot. How's that possible? It's before Matan Torah. Toshma vayikach yitro chotei Moshe olah zvachim l'Elohim. That's also kind of Matan Torah. Einich l'man yom yitro kodem Matan Torah. What about l'man yom yitro liachar Matan Torah? V'ma yikol l'meimar? Elo Yitron Yisrael Zavon. You think he schlepped it all the way from Midian? Tashma, Vayom Shumi Amalaki Evion, Asher Chamal Ama Metavatzon Vavakar, Leman Zvoach Lashem Alokech. So my Metav, the main Metav. So why do you need Metav? Kech Likvat Zalayas Bina. Tashma, Vayom Arav Nel David, Yikach, Vayal Adonai Amelech, Atov Beinav, Re'ei Abakar Le'ola, Morigim, Rechlei Abakar Le'etzim. So how could he accept it? Omer of Nachman, because Arav was a Kirtosha. What are Morigim? Omer Ula, everybody knows, a Mita Shal Turbil. What is a Mita Shal Turbil? An Ezer the Kurkasa, the Daisha. Omer of Yezer Mikro, in a Samtig Lamoreg, Charutz Chadash Baal Pipiot, Tidol Sharim, Tidok, Ugvaot Kamot Stasim. Wait. But the Parot, Elo, Lalasha, how could they do it belong to Plishti? Horacha Aita. By the way, Achinai Mistava, Lilotem Achi, Ola Neteva, Miika. Why not, my Kusha? Dilma Bimamat Yachit, Kervada Barava. Dilma Ravada Barava, Minayim Lola Neteva, Shikshira Bimamat Yachit, Shemaikak Shmuel Tele Chala Vechat, Vayale Ola? No, Vayale, who is Mashma Zakar? I'm not reading it. It's Vayale Ha. It's written. Rabbi Yochanan Magluyesh. In general, this then you can only buy Chutem Bat Shalosh Shanim. Because then it's in a carrot. But Bat Shalosh Shanim in a carrot, so it's not makbid. Eight Vekalani to Yufta. So how did they buy them? And he answered in every case, Chutem Bat Shalosh Shanim. But then they got to the question of the Parot. Tashma Vet Parot, Elo Olal Hashem. He tried to say, Parot Bat Shalosh Shanim. Mark, if you're a good brother of Nata, so then how do you explain the pasuk at Benayim Kaluba Bayit? Chutemi bat shalashanim, Mika Yolda Vatznan, Paravacha Mor up to bat shalashanim, is Vare Lekoin. Mikan Velo Safek, and Makvarta Kirishanina Mika Ra. Vayasharna haparot badera kadera betlecha. What kind of word is that, Yasharna? Omre Vyokan Mishum Rabbi Meir, Shamu Shira. Rav Zutra Batuvi Amarav, she yishru b'neim k'neged aron, v'omru shira. My shira omru, om Rav Yochan Mishum Rav Meir, az yashir Moshe v'nei Yisrael. Rav Yochan Yideyama v'amata b'yamahu, hodu l'Hashem, kiru v'shmo, v'shlokish amr mizmor yatma, mizmor, shiru l'Hashem shir chadash, ki neflaot asa, hoshia lo yivinino azra kacho, Rav Yelazar omar, Hashem alach yirgizu amin, Rishuba Nachmini Amar, Hashem Alach Yotlevesh. Vitor Nafch Amar, Roni, Roni Hashita, it's not fi berov adarech, amuchu sheket rikmi zahav, amulala vidvir armon, umifuara ba'adi adayim. Rebashi matmin, Allah, the Rebbe Yitzhak Nafcha, aha, vahi bin Tzah, Ron, vahimu, vashekum Hashem, Yisro, my Amru, Amru, Rebbe Yitzhak, Roni, Roni Hashita, so on. Omar Rav Kaman, Koro Parsoy, Lissafra, Dvir Miachar, Veshein Dvir, Lifnim Kiryat Seifa. Omar Ravashi Kaman, Koro Parsoy, Lenida Dashtana, Miachar, Kiderech Nashim, Bihi. Vayida Mashemesh Vyarecha Marad Yikum Koe Hoi Vav, Alo Iktuva, Al Sefer Yashar, My Sefer Yashar. Omar Rav Kaman, Rav Yachar, Sefer Avon Yitru Yachar. Shnikru Yisharim, Shenema Atomot Nefshim Mot Yisharim. ואיך רמיזה? וזרו, למלוא הגויים. אימתי יהיה זרו של אפרים, מלוא הגויים? בשעה שעמדה לו חנה ליהושע. ויעמוד השמש בחצי השמיים, ולא עץ לבוא כיום תמים. So total was how much? אומרים שבן לוי 24 שעות. אוזו שיט, קום שיט, אוזו שיט, קום שיט. כולו מאותה כיום תמים. רב אלעזר אומר, לא, לא, 36, אוזו שיט, קום שיסה. Also, she'd come trace her. It says, Amirato was Kiyom Tamid. Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmini Amar, Arbe Meshmona. Also, she'd come trace her. Also, she'd come Esrima Arba. Shinema Veloat Slavo, Kiyom Tamim. Because Mikor loved Kiyom Tamim Abi. Ikide Amri Ato Sefta pleaded. Reb Yeshua Ben Levi Amar Esrima Arba. Also, she'd come trace her. Also, she'd come trace her. Amirato Kiyom Tamim. Reb Eliezer Amar Shloshe Veshesh. Also, she come trace. Also, she come my stream of Arava. Vloat slavo kiyom tamim. Rishuba Nachmini on Arava in Mishmana. Also, she come my stream of Arava. Also, she come my stream of Arava. Makish amiratol viatol. Mavi Atoki Yom Tamim, it's his last Savo, Afamil Atoki Yom Tamim. Following is the daf from the year 2003 in the previous cycle.
So we're holding on daf of Dalet Amin Aleph. We're in the middle of the sugya of explaining the various approaches to the Mishnah, the steer in the Mishnah between the din of not allowing a behemoth to be barned, and on the other hand, the heter to purchase a behemoth. And the approaches that we've had so far have been the opening approach, which is that there's a difference between the behemoth of the Akum itself, and that is chosalei, and the behemoth that's stored by him. And then we had, yesterday, we had Ravina's approach. There's a difference between lechatchila and biyavad. Lechatchila, we don't expose the animal to the, there's a shilas of mitnayiv, and so on. Biyavad, we're not really chayshish. And we had Rav Pedos's approach, that the machlokis is really a machlokis between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. So wherever you find the two shitas, you understand that there's a shita one way and the other. This we saw from the Mishnah in Torah. And in the context of that discussion of the Machlokas with Eliezer and Rabbanu, we got into the Mimer of Shila, Brayther of Shila. We find that there, according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's a special Easter, Xeris HaKosos, that it says, V'yikru Elecha, that the Rabbanu B'nai Yisrael means that only B'nai Yisrael is V'yikru. And that you cannot buy a Parah Aduma from a Goy. The last thing we learned was we had the Kasha on that from the mice of Dama ben Asina, that they did go ahead and they brought from a Goy, and we answered by saying that the Asir Sur, that there was a broker that had bought it originally, which is Mashma up until now, which is Mashma, we really hold that if we take this approach in Shila, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, there is no chashash of sodomization, and it's only a question of Xeris HaKosov of the Yikru, which we already know is a problem, because we saw earlier that Rabbi Eliezer passes kolar korbanos. In fact, kolar korbanos, as the Gemara pointed out, it doesn't say vayikul. It says vayikul gabi paratuma. And we've been pretending that there's an alternative approach to Rabbi Eliezer through Shiva, which isn't really true. And now the Gemara wants to crack down on this issue, not only from what we said yesterday, that he passes the kolar korbanos, but portion from this mice, if we continue on from the story of the Dama ben Atina. So we asked a different question. Are you telling me, says the Gemara, that Rabbi Eliezer, and we're holding right now a quarter of the way down of the daf, Rabbi Eliezer, lo chayish ravia, you're trying to tell me that according to Shila, the only question Rabbi Eliezer has is the question of whether you're allowed to buy from a goy because of Xeris HaKosov of the Yikhu Elecha, but there's no chashash of revia of the animal that would possibly it? Is that true? Now Tosis points out that, of course, at this moment we could have already asked from the way we asked yesterday, that Rabbi Eliezer says, B'feirush, v'chein haya Rabbi Eliezer poser b'chol ha-korbanot kula. And then we had the continuation, Maheshivu Chaverim La Rebbe Eliezer, and it says they brought the riot from Kotzon Kedar Yikatsulat, so it must be that they were referring to things other than the Torah. We could have asked all of that, but we're holding now in the story of Dama ben Atina, and because of that we wanted to ask already from that Maise Guf, and there's a continuation of that. There's a bride that talks about that, and that's what bothers us. Ask the Gemara, can you really believe that Rebbe Eliezer has no chashash of Riviata Behema? Tanya Amrulo the Rabbi Eliezer. Ma'asev alakua min alaveko chavina. Here it says in the Tosefta, in Mesechet Parah, that the Chachomim tainet the Rebbe Eliezer, how can you say that a Parah Duma cannot be purchased from an alaveko chavin? If we know that there was an actual story in which it's a Parah Duma, famous story, was purchased with Oveid Kochavim, the Dama Shmo, this is the Smeister we just discussed, Dama ben Netina, some say his name was Remet, but in any event, nobody's arguing on the story. Amalem Rabbi Eliezer, Misham Raya, from there you're going to bring me a Raya, Yisrael, are you Misham Rimota, Misha Asha Nolda? Now what in the world is that supposed to mean? If the problem is that you're not supposed to buy because of Zerata Katuv, and Rebbe Eliezer has no chashash of Rivi'ah, then why did he say, oh, a Jew is watching? Now, what does watching have to do with it? It belongs to a goy. You're not allowed to buy it from a goy. It seems clearly that Rabbi Eliezer is telling you that his tam for the Isur is not, certainly not limited to the din of the Yikweilecha Yisrael, the Yikweilecha Veloa Akum Yikweilecha. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer, Tarzehitle, Rabbi Eliezer holds both issues, two separate issues. Itle Kicha, he holds, yes, as Sheila pointed out, he holds of the Isur to buy from a goy based on the pasuk of Daber B'nei Yisrael V'yikru, B'nei Yisrael Yikru V'loa Akum Yikru. Besides that, Chayishnami, Ruviya, he also has this problem in which there's just a logistical problem. That how can you buy the animal even if you bought it through a broker? I mean, there's still going to be a problem, isn't there, of the Kashash of Riviya. And that Kashash, of course, explains why he says, V'chein hayaved v'yezer aser b'chola korbanot kulam, not to buy from a goy. And then on that issue, he answered, that Yisrael, you meshamim otam mishash enolda. What good is that, though? V'nechush bilmer rabbi ili ima, ki'avi ma'abra. Why are we not afraid that the mother, when she was already pregnant with this parah, was sodomized by this guy, when it wasn't tachat hashgacha? And after all, Rava has said, Vlad hanogachas asura, hi uvlada nakhu. Vlad hanirbahas asura, hi uvlada nirva'u. Rava says that in general, if you have an animal that's pregnant, and that animal it goes ahead now and gores someone, it kills somebody. In the same way that that animal cannot be brought for a korban because it's a nogachat, so too can the embryo that at that time was in it never be brought as a korban because it was part of the mother that was nogachat. By the same token, if the mother was sodomized at that time, then the vlad would become forever asura by being a nirbahat itself. So what good is the hashgacha on the child if there was no hashgacha on the mother? Answers the Gemara, okay, fine, so change that to say that the hashgacha was on the mother. Ema, Yisrael, ayu meshamrim ota misha'a shen notzra. It means from the time of conception, the animal, the mother was already under hashgacha, and then they kept tabs of the child. And of course, this was in order to be able to assure that they had a paraduma, which was not an easy thing. So they, when the Gemara is going to ask later why they thought that this animal particularly was pregnant with the para. But in any event, in order to assure the kashrut of the para, they appointed mashkichim, and there was no problem with the chashash. And as far as the issur of purchasing from a guy, they had a broker purchase it first, and then they bought it from the broker. Why are we not afraid that the mother was sodomized before it became pregnant? All it says in the Mishnah, anything that is possible for the Mizbeach, as long as it wasn't at the time, it wasn't pregnant, and it has a child that's mutter, but Rabbi Eliezer says it's mutter. And of course, we're going over here according to Rabbi Eliezer. So, hey, Yechel Rava, the Omer Rav, Omer Rav, Nach Machlo, Kishin Dirva, Ukishin Bukdashim, Avakishin Chulin, Dibreach, Kol Mutarin, and everything is fine. Rava's explanation of that Mishnah is that Rabbi Eliezer is only arguing to answer if the animal became possible while it was an animal of Chodesh. So then, since in its state of Kedusha, it becomes now a Nirvat, so now its Vlad will also be Aser. But Rabbi Eliezer certainly motive that a schoolin animal never becomes Aser in terms of Asering its Vlad. Is it then in Vlad is Kachim, not as in Vlad Be'imash Afak Liot Kodesh. Certainly in this case, Vlad Be'imash Vatsmoloya Kodesh. There's no such truth. So then we don't have a problem. But according to Avuna Bar Chinan Amar of Nasma, who says on the contrary, machloket kishenir v'ukishen chulin. The only machloket that the Chachamim say it's kosher is where the pagam in the animal happened when the animal itself wasn't kodesh. Everybody would hold that it's osur if it was already a kodesh animal at the time that it was nearby. So then we've got a problem. How are we going to get out of What are we going to say? That it was under Hashgacha before it was even pregnant? Jemaika Lameima. Says the Gemara, well, why not? Why can't we say? Maybe the mother was under Hashgacha from the time it was conceived. I don't understand. So this is an infinite regress. I mean, so maybe the mother's mother had been sodomized. I mean, what are we saying from Shishish Mebarashis? That somebody was mashkiat on this animal? I mean, so the ema, why don't we say that the nefesh duma rav ua the ema dima? Because kuli hai lo kashina, come on, I mean, we've got to cut at some point. Basically, I mean, the whole issue over here really is only a question of bizui, according to Rabbi Eliezer. It's not that there's a real pagam over here because it came from a behemoth that was nearby. It's just that he expands the din because of bizayon kodashim. So, okay, we're not going to expand the din. Now, you said before that the animal is under Hashgachah. Why would they think that this animal was pregnant with a parah? Rav Kana says, well, you see, they used to stimulate the pregnancy of a parah, the way Yaakov Avinu stimulated his animals to have their children. So they expose it to red colors at the time that it's having intercourse, and at that point it changes the way the child will be. Oh, come on, that's why it's so expensive to buy a parah, because we couldn't find the proper red glass, I suppose. I mean, what's that supposed to mean? No, that's because, look, you can pass all the red glasses that you want, but I mean, you know, you have to have a kosher parah. I mean, you've got your even shteis ha'arot that are not dumot are possible on it. So then, yes, as a matter of fact, there is currently a whole a very long plan that's been actually used to produce a number of paras that uses the implantation of fetuses and so on.
Truly?
Yeah, you don't know this? This has been going on already? No. There's been a number of parot that have been produced. Again, all these problems because of shtei sarot, but they're getting closer. And they're using genetic manipulation techniques. You know. So anyway, so then why should not he do? I mean, I understand this. So there may be any number of animals that people think are going to be conceiving parot. I mean, why are they taking any pains to protect this animal? Because obviously we're talking about an animal that has come from a long line of red hyper-producing animals. So I'm going to take an animal, we're going to decide, okay, let's create a parah. I mean, what kind of mad scientist? We have over here a long line of parot. Okay, I mean, obviously it's damei yikarim, because rarely are we going to get a real parah aduma. You know, we'll try our best to encourage it with all the red cups in the world, you know. But we want to certainly be mashkiach on it just in case we really do have a good parah this time. So after you've got a line, there is a line that currently a line in Sweden that is under hashgacha. So because we have that line, so memela we protect it. Yosef Rabami Rav Yitzchak Napcha, Akilah the Rav Yitzchak Napcha. Rabami Rav Yitzchak Napcha was sitting in the off of the porch of Rav Yitzchak Napcha. We know they had a conversation. We don't have a record who said what. We got a little confused about that. But one of them said what we were talking about before, that V'chein haya Rav Eliezer posel b'kolot korbanot kulan. And he was disturbed by this idea of Shila, that the problem over here is a din in Kicha. If Rav Eliezer passes all of the korbanot, it's not only a din in Pora. So what are we like? What are we talking about over here? And why only in terms of parah? And the other one said, yes, you'll remember also the continuation of the whole conversation. As the Brisa pointed out, Mayotiva le Chavruya le Rabbi Eliezer. What did the Chavirim of Rabbi Eliezer, who argued on him and said, no, it's kosher to buy an animal from a guy. What did they say? They said to him, what about the pasuk of Kol Tzom Kidai Kav Tzulach and so on? So clearly, the last time anybody found a sheep being a parah aduma, it must have been in a different universe. I mean, obviously, they were talking to Rabbi Eliezer in terms of all animals, not in terms of the parah aduma. And Rabbi Eliezer answered Well, kulam gerim gerim em latid lavo. I mean, then you're talking about after Mashiach comes. After Mashiach comes, all of a sudden everybody's frum and the goyim are taking on their mitzvahs, and obviously it won't be makabel them as gerim, but they're gerim gerim. They're going to act as if they're gerim. And so Mamela, at that point, you think you can accept your animals because they're religious people. Omer of Yosef, my craw, where do we see that they will be religious at that point? Ki az efoch el amim safa berura. So it means that all of the amim will now speak in a clear tongue and no longer fool themselves about Avodah Zorah. Omer le'abai, so maybe that only means about Avodah Zorah, but all kinds of other things they may still be doing. So Dilma mi avodat kochavim hu da hadar behu, but maybe they're still chashud on being rovei ad behima. Of course, it's one of the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. Or Malay Rav Yosef, because the pasuk continues la avdor shchem echad, safa brura la avdor shchem echad. So the shchem echad means that they will all put their shoulders together. Whether they're Jewish or whether they're acting Jewish, but it'll all be Shem Echad, the whole world working towards Hashem. How can you say that they're only going to be mocked on Avodah Zorah, not on the Shem Mitzvah? They're not. Rav Papa Matzni Hachi, by the way, this conversation that is reported between Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, with Rav Yosef bringing a raya, with Abaye asking a question to Rav Yosef, all of that was the way in which Rav Papa reported the events. But Rav Zvid said it was nothing like Rav Papa reported it. It was not an argument between Rav Yitzchak Nafcha about what, or a different raya. They both, together, they both were upset about this. But Tarvayu Amri, they both said, and Rav Eliezer passing B'Kol HaKarbonot, and both said, what about, you know, the continuation of in the Brisa, Mayotiva Lekavriel, Rav Eliezer, Kot Tzom Kedari Kapsulach, and Rav Eliezer answered Kulam Gerim Gurim Em Latid Lavo Umay Krok Yazeh Foch Alamim Safa Bura Lekro Kulam B'Shem Echad. And in this version, it was Rav Yosef, not Abaye. It was Rav Yosef who said maybe it was only Avodat Kochavim Udadribe, and it was Abaye who came to the rescue and said it can't mean that because Armalei Abaye La'avdo Shem Echad. There's no difference between the two approaches, obviously, other than who said what. I mean, so in the second approach, Rav Eliezer and Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchak Nafcha both were timing that Rav Eliezer was applying across the board from both riots, and they brought all of the discussion together, and Rav Yosef was the one who asked, what about, how do we know it's on everything? And Abaye answered. Basically, a further question on the limitation of bringing from Goyim. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu told Pharaoh, you're going to send out the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Gamatzati ten biyadenu zvachim v'olot. So how could they accept the zvachim v'olot of Pharaoh if there's a chashash of Revia? So Moshe shouldn't have told Pharaoh that. That's the question. Perfect for the season. No, that's Kodem Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, we didn't have these Sulim who weren't so mocked. I mean, weren't all of the dinim that we have nowadays, but the Minatzon and the Apostles and the Rebbe. So at that point, you didn't have to be kosher.
Were they animals as gods?
What's that?
They treated the animals as gods.
God, this is the whole point of the Masechta, is that gods and sex are very, very interrelated. I mean, that's the law of I mean, with the ego, they were certainly, that's the whole marker. What's so strange about sodomizing gods? So, frankly, Gemara, what about Vayikach Yitro Choten Moshe Ola Uzvachim Lelohim? How could they take the Olah Zvachim, the Yitro is going to, I mean, obviously he must have bought these along the way. I mean, they're from going. I mean, so how could he bring Olah Zvachim Lelokim? No, Yitro also came before Matan Torah. And that wasn't a problem. Oh, well, wait a minute. That's a big machloket, as you know. I mean, hey, Nikolaman Yomi Yitro, could Matan Torah have, if you hold that Yitro came before Matan Torah, okay, you can answer that. But if you hold that Yitro came lachar Matan Torah, my Ikalamema. What would you explain? Why did they bring his korbanos? Ela Yitro Yisrael Zavan. Actually, he didn't bring his own animals. He bought animals from Jews. That's why they were kosher.
Jews who were slaves? Where were Jews that you could buy them?
Well, it was already the last year in Mitzrayim. The Egyptians had let off, remember. Toshma. Vayomer Shaul mi'amaleki heviyum asher chomal ha'am al meitav hatzon v'habakar l'man zvoach l'Hashem Elokecha. When Shmuel is shouting at Shaul, so what's all the bad sheep I hear in the background? And Shaul says, well, I mean, the people couldn't stand seeing this go to waste. They wanted to bring it as a korban. And then Shmuel tells him, the big deal korban. Lo Shmuel mizevach tov. I mean, obviously they were going to bring it as a korban. How could they bring it as a korban if there's a chashash of revi on the animal? No, it doesn't mean they were going to bring it means that the Dmei Meita, they were going to bring the money that these things were worth. Oh, come on, son, who cares if it's Meita? I mean, son, it could be the ugliest thing, sell it, and bring it for a carbon. It's an Amishna Meita. Why stress on the finest quality son? They couldn't let that be killed. Well, maybe that's because Kesha Likvot Shalera Zvina. They could sell that quick because they're so good. So I figured that we could translate that into money, take the money, buy a carbon, and then go ahead. That's how Rebeliaz would have to learn it. Toshma Vayomar Vanal David Yikak V'yal Adonai HaMelech HaTov Be'inav Re'ei B'Habakar Lo'Ole V'Morigim V'Klei HaBakar Le'Itzim. Now how could they take our Rav Nahayivusi, who was not Jewish, take his animals, bring it up as a korban when they bought the mokum of the Beis HaMikdash, if those animals weren't kosher? Amar Rav Nachman, no, Rav Nachman was a ger toshav. And as a ger toshav, he of course had accepted the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach, which included the Yisra of Arayot, and therefore you could trust him on the animals. By the way, what are morigim? Morigim v'kli abakar. Just as an aside, my morigim. Amar Ula, morigim are, everybody knows, a mita shel turbil. It's a turbo-powered bed.
It's called a morag in modern
Hebrew. It's called a morag. My mita shel turbil, well, what is a turbo-powered bed? Iza de kurkasa. That's actually a kurkasa iz, which means the daishin, which is used for disha. What this is a little device. That essentially, I mean, you know, obviously they decorated it up and they made it into all kinds of crazy looking things. But what it is a flat board that then has sneaker-like ridges on the bottom, you know, for like a basketball, what do you know? No, it's more than traction, it's those spikes. It's got spikes on the bottom. And what you do is you put it over the grain.
Now they use metal, but then they use basalt, the volcanic rock.
Uh-huh, okay. So, but whatever. So those spikes, they would put it over the grain, and then people would walk all over this thing, and then the grain would be jogged around to loosen the chaff, or whatever the end of the salt chaff, the husk, to loosen the husk, and that way it was ready for winnowing. So you know, so he could use that, and of course we know David made good use of this, putting him over the Moabim and doing the same thing. You know. It's a good thing Saddam didn't read this Gemara. So anyway, we could burn the morigim for the ash on the for the carbonus that were being brought there. Omer of Yosef, Mikra, where do we see that a morag is that? Because it says Hine Samtich Lemorag Charutz Chadash Baal Pipiot. Here it is. In other words, Baal Pipiot doesn't mean a double edged. It means with a lot of edges. So a moruk charutz means it had ridges in it, like a tire or like a sneaker, that you could use now, and this became like a weapon. Tidosh harim, v'tidok ugvot kamot stasim. So clearly it became a vision of the ability of crushing things, and that's why, because it's based on the mita shel turbo. Meisvet. That a parot elu ola l'Hashem. Those parot that were sent back by the plishtim, and the plishtim were bringing back the Aron Hashem. So when it arrived in Beit Shemesh, it says that they brought those parot as a korbana. How could they bring the parot if they were sent by the plishtim? They should have to be choshed that they were sodomites. Horat Sha'aita, that whole thing was obvious, the whole thing was miraculous. So, I mean, it means if they saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this, and the Pharaoh came and they brought the Aron back, and the whole thing was clearly done as a nace, they accepted that it was meant to be used in the Shevach of the nace. And Okinami Mistabra, it's got to be that, because the last time I heard, a para is female. And the last time I heard, an ola cannot be brought from a female. So how do they bring parod l'ola? So obviously the whole thing was not a serious, that this is a carbon l'halakha. It means that they saw this as a nace that required a special response, l'shamayim. Dilote machi ola nekeva mi'ikam. How could it be a ola that's a nekeva? No, that's not a problem. Because remember, this is after the destruction of Mishkan Shiloh, obviously, by definition, because it was after the capturing of the Aron, and that's what was the end of Mishkan Shiloh, was the death of Eli. And after Mishkan Shiloh, they moved immediately to Nov. So that means that the Mizbeach of the Tzibur was in Nov at this time, not in Beit Shemesh. Therefore, when they were bringing it up, of course, during that period, the Nov Givon Bamot were Mutarot. So they were bringing this up on a Bamat Yachid. So it turns out, not a Bamat Tzibur. And on a Bamat Yachid, the halacha is like Rav Ada Bar Ava, the Omer Rav Ada Bar Ava, Minayin Lo'ola Nekeva Shikshera Bamat Yachid. There is no limitation on a Bamat Yachid that it has to be a male, an Ola. Shenema V'yikach Shmuel Tzilech Halev Echad V'yalehu Ola. So L'chora you see clearly that you could bring a Tzilech Halav, Rashi understands, Rashi understands as a para who is nursing a Tzilech. Others understand a Tzilech Halav, a Tzilech who is nursing, which means that the mother must have been with it. But in any event, it says Vayaleh Ola. Yeah, but it says Vayalehu. I mean, Vayaleh was male. So then Vayaleh is a Zachar Mashma. Where do you see from there that it's referring to a female? Omer of Nachum Bar Yitzchak. No, it says Vayaleh. It's written that Vayaleh. The reason it says Vayalehu is because an Ola is a Zachar. So it called this female Vayalehu in terms of the Dine Ola. That this Nekeva is valid as a Zachar for Ola. But in order to make it clear that it was not literally a Zachar, it says Vayaleh. Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Rabbi Yochanan says, I have a fourth approach to the question. The first approach was the difference between his own animal and an animal that's stabled. Stabled by him. The second approach, Rabbeinu's approach, is the difference between Lechatchila and Bidyavad. The third approach was Rabbi Pedatz's approach, which is that there's a machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachomim, and the two Mishnayot, the Mishnah and the Braita, are a reflection of that machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan says, I have a very simple solution. The simple solution is, it depends on the age of the animal. And there are two different stages. In some stage you have to be careful about barring, and some stage you don't. And that's the nafkamina. Gvul yeshla, p'chutami bat shalosh shanim ne'ekeret. The halacha is that before it's 3 years old, it will in fact be sterilized by having interspecies sex. And therefore you can buy a younger animal from an Akum, because the Akum is going to be afraid of ruining the animal. But Akher, Bat Shalosh Shanim, once it's already over, it's 3 years old enough, then a non-Nekeret, and then we have, in fact, the Yisr that Rebbe Eliezer was talking about, that you can't buy any carbon from the Akum, and then we can ask all of these questions, Eitzvei Kol Ani Tiyufet, that we asked before, and each time Rabbi Yochanan says, okay, so that case is talking about it was before 3 years old, and there was no kashash, because he wouldn't want to have been oaked in the animal. This one's talking about that it's after 3 years old. So what's the big deal? It doesn't have to do with knowledge. But Tosis, by the way, even points out that clearly this is not true, scientifically. Because here it's talking about you know what, let's just, if we go a little bit further, I can get to what Tosis Rai is instead of needing to introduce it to you. So give me 2 more minutes. Toshma, v'taparot elu ola l'ashem. So, we asked the same question, right? It says that they brought the parot. How could they bring a parot? Tukul, tell me about Shalosh. They were less than 3 years old, so there was no problem. Maskilo Rabuna Bereda Nosan. Explain to me, if that's the case, how did the Plishtim, remember, the Plishtim wanted to make sure that this wasn't an accident and that God himself was behind it. So they took the children of these parot, put them into a room, and had them screaming behind the parot. The parot didn't care, they just walked straight away and went straight to Beit Shemesh. And that was an indication to them this couldn't be a natural event, because the mother would have turned around to go back to the child. So it says that at B'nayim Kaluba Bait, so we're going to, what are you going to say? That they were less than 3 years old. They're less than 3 years old. How would they have had children? Mika Yalda, that's not Parah V'chamor Mibat Shalosh, Vadai L'Kohein. That if you buy an animal from a goy, and you have no idea if this animal had had a child before, and I have a suffix b'chor, if it's a Parah or if it's a Chamor, you have a suffix b'chor of a Petah Chamor. What do you do? So you're going to have a suffix. But if only up to 3 years old, you don't have a suffix, because it's Vada, I didn't have a child beforehand. So you see that it couldn't have had a child before three. So how could Rabbi Yochanan have said that the Plishtim who had the parah, the children of the parah, that that's talking about a parah that was less than 3 years old if it wouldn't have had a child less than 3 years old? So Rabbi Yochanan's answer doesn't hold up. Says the Gemara, you're right. We have to go back to the first three tirus. Now here is what Tosfos points out. He says that there's maisin b'chol yom. Everybody who owns parot and chamor knows for a fact that of course they give birth before the 3 years. Plenty of times that a 2-year-old parah has a child, or a 2-year-old chamor has a child. So what in the world is the Mishnah talking about, vadai? Therefore Tosfos says that this is one of those things, and he brings up his other famous examples in Hilchos Treifas, particularly Gabi Anunisa de Varda, which at one time they viewed as a psul, as a treifa, and now every animal has an Anunisa de Varda, kamat. And the Gemara points out that these things change, and there's a lot of this continued evolution in animals, and there's all kinds of different things as time goes on. So nowadays, yes, the reproductive capabilities of animals are different, the nutrition is different, and so on. Same thing is true of the internal organ structures. There's been a lot of change. Used to be, the Gemara says, called Anichiviyasa Briyasa Itlu. Wild animals that grow outdoors, they have the Anamisa Devarda. So it says that nowadays everybody knows, every single age, you ever find an animal without an Anamisa Devarda, even if they're kept in barns. It's a lobe of the lung that wasn't considered to be a normal lobe at one time, and now that's a typical lung structure. So, okay, so these kind of, and Tosfos says there's many, many places in Shas, but a lot of things that are clearly absurd scientifically, everybody knows that they're absurd scientifically, and these are things that, in fact, change as time goes on. You can't rely on these things nowadays. Anything that has to do with biology and so on changes in time. Vayasharna haparot v'derech al derech beit lachem. Now, when it says vayasharna, it's a strange word. I mean, what does that mean? What did I say? You're kidding.
Yeah.
Huh. I must have had my eyes on the future. Yeah. So anyway, there they were going on Derech Beit Shemesh. So what does it mean? I mean, that's not the way you normally talk about Asharna. Om Rebbe Yochanan, Mishub Rebbe Meir, it's a double lashon, because it means not only do they walk straight, of all who Yisharot, but rather it means Shamru Shiram, that they were singing as they were walking. And Rav Zuka Bar Tuvia, or some have a chen omar Rav Zuka Bar Tuvia omar not. It's a double meaning in a double meaning. It means she yashru pneihem kineged aron. They turned their heads back to look at the aron that they were carrying, and they said shira to the aron, the Amru Shira. It wasn't stam. My Shira Amru, the Maral explains this is no different than the normal Shira Sachayot, and it doesn't mean literally that they spoke, but that the act of walking in this way was mamish, an act of song. So that, Barnea, you missed it. That is terrible. My Shira Amru. Amru Rabbi Yochanan. So what was the Shira that this represents? Amru Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Meir. It represents the original Shira. Omar, it's Oz Yashir Moshe. After all, it says Ki Ga'a Ga'a. And it says by them that they were Ga'u.
Is that the move?
Ga'u. Right, the Rashi brings them. So Ga'a Ga'a, because that still makes sense, right? Because you say Ga'a Ga'a this time, just like it was double Ga'a, Lagabe Mitzrayim, was Keneged Mitzrayim and Keneged Elohim. And over here was Keneged HaPlishtim and Keneged Dagon. That was the god of the Plishtim. That was sort of wiped out by the arm. So that must be what it expressed. Rabbi Yochanan today, here Rabbi Yochanan quoted Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yochanan himself says, you know, if it was saying anything, V'amartem b'yom ahu hodu l'Hashem kiru b'shmo. That's what I heard them saying. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Omer, it's the Mizmor HaYatma. It's the Mizmor that has no parents. It's a Mizmor that has no name. It's not clear what it was said about either. Mizmor Shir L'Hashem Shir Chadash Ki Neflot Asah Hoshia Lo Yamino Zrakar. Why did they say Mizmor LaDavid or Mizmor LaSomebody? Mizmor LaSaf. Who said this? Now, Tosis points out, we have other Mizmorim like that. I mean, Mizmor LaTodah, Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat. I mean, it doesn't say who said it. But does it explain the point of Mizmor Yatma? Is not only do we not know who said it, but we don't know the circumstances on which it was said. That's what Mizmor Yatma. So it's like just hanging there without any explanation. Now, there are other cases like that, like Yoshev B'Seter Elyon. What's that said about? But it doesn't say Mizmor. The only place we find Mizmor, when normally we attribute it to somebody, or it's an expression of an event, is this. And therefore, this must be the Mizmor that the Pharaoh essentially were singing. Rebbe Lazar Omer, Hashem Malach Yirgizu Amin. Boy, did he get them. I mean, that there's no bigger roges than the Chorim that they had. And Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Rebbe Shmuel Ben Nachmeni Omer, Hashem Malach Geut Lavesh. Rebbe Yitzchak Nafka Omer, now Rebbe Yitzchak Nafka has a Kabbalah about a very beautiful song. And this song shows up in a number of places, as we'll see. And actually it's the marker for some interesting minhagim, as I'll mention in a moment. And the song is not from Tehillim, it's a special song itself, which is Roni, this is of course for you special, I don't know, Roni Roni Hashita. Let the Shita, the Aron, which is made of Aron, Atse Shitim, let the Shita sing and sing. It's no fifi, Verov Hadera. So lift yourself up along this whole road, Hamukhusheket Rikmei Zahav, wrapped in this coating of gold, because the Shita was the Bayit HaMikdash over here, with gold. Hamuhulala Bedvir Armon. Oh, so sung about and uplifted with the Dvir. The Dvir is a reference to the Sefer Torah that was inside of the Aron, and it became the palace now for the Dvir. Umefara Ba'adi Adayim. And the Adi Adayim of the Kabbalat HaTorah itself is still lying within that Aron and reminds us of Maimar Har Sinai. And that's what they were singing. Rav Ashi had the Maimar of Rav Yitzchak Nafka and the song of Roni Roni Ashita, that was not said by the Parot. He learned, but not, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. Not that it was not said by the Parot, but that it had a very early origin. That where Rav Yitzchak's Maimer was said was on the following. It says in the Pasuk, even so Aaron Vayomer Moshe Kum Hashem, and so on. So we have this beautiful song that Moshe said, which we say every time we bring out the Aaron. But what were Yisrael saying at the time? Or were they just sitting there like a bunch of idiots and Moshe was singing and there was no response? Says Rav Yitzchak Nafka, that was the response. Roni, Roni Hashita was what everybody sang as Moshe Rabbeinu would talk about Kuma Hashem, Ve'afutzroi Ve'acha, and so on. It could be, and it's austere, but this is where he said, this was the marker of Roni Roni Hashita. That's very interesting that there's a lot of discussion about Minhagim in Kriyat HaTorah. The Minhag Ashkenaz is to say the Masa'ot with a song. Right? And we read over all of the Masa'ot, and people went, where did that minute come from? In the Mrutzat HaShanim, the marker of the minute was traced to Roni Roni Ashita. Because every masa would begin with Vayibin Zohar Aron, in which case everybody was singing. Moshe was singing Kuma Shemeh Putzoevecha. They were singing Roni Roni Ashita. So to mention those mataot without the response of the singer, what would be? It would just take away the whole drama. So we reinserted the music into
like,
the...
It's like an opera.
No, it's not referring to it. Omar Rav, Kiman Koru Parsoi Lusafra Dvir. This is fascinating. Because over here the song... is Amuhulavan Bidvir Armon is a reference to the Sefer Torah that's inside of the Oron as a palette, so to speak, for the Dvir that is for the Sefer Torah. And it's interesting that the Persians call the word for book is Dvir. Where do they get that from? V'shem Dvir Litzim Kiryat Sefer. Beautiful. So the name of the city Dvir used to be Kiryat Sefer. So clearly, Dvir and Sefer are interrelated, which expresses itself in Persian. And this song is based on that understanding of Dvir. There's another mimer, once we're onto the way that the Persians refer to things, Zomer Avashi, Kiman Koru Parsai L'Nida Dashtana. Where did Persians come along using the word Dashtana? We saw this before in the story of Rabbi Meir who went to rescue, and she said Dashtana Anna, which means I am Anita. Where do they get the word dashtana, meaning nida? The Rem is in the pasuk. Ki derech nashim li. So dash, derech, nash, ana. So dashtana, I am a nida, derech nashim, is exactly the way that Rachel expressed that to her father.